Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
How you guys doing? Who's happy to be at church today and genuinely believing that God's going to do something great? The Myrie 4 p.m. service, I just got such a sense even in worship that this could be a real game-changing day for you in the room. You know, don't allow this moment to just be another thing to do on a Sunday afternoon, but I just pray that you'll actually seize the moment and allow God to speak to you about what he's about to do. I know you've been sitting a while and standing a while as well, but we're going to stand for the Word of God today. Acts chapter 16, who's ready to read with me? Yes. The Word of God, Acts chapter 16, a very encouraging passage of Scripture, actually, about Paul and Silas and their little exploits. It says here, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the Word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. We were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple textile cloth from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her whole household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' Revival came to a woman in Macedonia. So she persuaded us." Can we give God a big shout of praise for the incredibly uplifting account? Grab your seat. You know, as we turn our hearts and our heads towards Easter, perhaps I think is the most important time of the Christian calendar where globally people celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I also think that Easter is perhaps the greatest reminder to us that our Christian faith is actually at its finest when it is tested. Our Christian faith is actually at its finest when it is under fire, when it is, Christianity is not powerful in comfort zones. Because grace is redundant in comfort zones. Christianity, our faith is at its best when it's actually tested and when we actually need God. Easter reminds us that his strength is not made perfect in our strength, but his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That really is the paradox of the Easter message. You know, Paul says, "When I am weak, then I am strong in him." And so today, if you're here and you're here on a Sunday 4 p.m. service, and maybe you're in the middle right now of a time of vulnerability. Right now, it's the lead up to Easter, and maybe you're in a uncertain time. Maybe you're feeling weak. Maybe you are feeling like it's a dark time for you. I can tell you now is a great time for the gospel to shine brightly in your life. I think our faith shines brightest in the paradox of a crucified king. It really does. What do I mean by that? The king who comes to save the world. If you think about the story of Christ to humanity, the way the Bible tells it, we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he comes to the world not born to a queen in a palace, but to an unmarried virgin in a manger. It's the paradox of Christianity that the King of Kings who comes to usher in a brand new kingdom doesn't come with chariots and adoring legions of followers, but he comes as a carpenter to be crucified on a criminal's cross. There is something very powerful about the paradox of our Christian faith, and Easter reminds us that God does his best work in our mess. He does his best work in our pain, in our hurts, in the most unlikely of circumstances. God does his best work in the most unexpected of places. Easter reminds us that God forsook his throne in heaven to come to the lowest of the low, to come and deal with our humanity, born humbly in a manger to a carpenter's son, to be crucified on a criminal's cross. And you know what? Scripture reminds us that God
sometimes moves in the mountaintops, but he always moves in the valleys. God's power is demonstrated in storms, not in smooth sailing boats. That he is present in trials and that he's constant in uncertainties. And today I want to speak to you on the thought, revival in unexpected places. Revival in unexpected places. My message today obviously is a precursor to the Easter message, and I'm going to go backwards a little bit, go in reverse. So I'm going to start in the book of Acts today, and then on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday, I'm obviously going to take you into the Gospels. But we're going to start in the book of Acts today. For those of you that haven't caught on yet by all the media information, we've got 17 live Easter services across our WA campuses across the weekend. That's 7 Good Friday services here at Amari. We've got 4, 6, 8. Make sure that you invite someone to that. And our Easter Sunday services, we've got 10 across Western Australia, and certainly the 4 here, which are water baptism services, amazing opportunities. Online, we've got 3 on Good Friday and 5 on Easter Sunday. You have no excuse to tell someone that because he lives, something good is about to happen in your life. Amen. But today I want to ask you the question, have you guys ever been in a place or a season in your life, maybe you're in it right now, where you feel like you are doing your best to be obedient to everything God has asked you to do? That you're walking in obedience, you're walking out and stepping out what God is asking you to do, and you have a certain level of expectation that you have because you are walking as God has called you to do. You are doing your best to walk. You're not perfect, but you're walking according to the Word. You're trying to hear the voice of God. You're trying to pray and all of those things, and you feel like, yep, I'm doing this. I'm walking with you, God. But as you traverse down the journey of life, after a little while, you realize that it is nothing like what you expected. How many of you have ever been in that place? Like you're walking out stuff in God, and then as you take these steps, you realize that this is nothing like what you expected. You know, you had really good reason to have your expectations set up because you've been as good as you can. You're obedient to God. You're doing your best to be discipled by and to be a disciple, to walk with Jesus. But then as you're stepping this out, you're going, what is going on? We're encountering a storm. How many of you know God likes to throw curveballs at us? Here in the book of Acts, chapter 16, Paul so clearly sees a vision. And in this vision, the Holy Spirit says to him, don't keep traveling east to Asia. Would you do a complete turn? And I want you, and God allows Paul to have a vision. A vision is to be able to see with clarity a man from Macedonia saying, help us, come reach us. Now that sets up a level of expectation. If you see a vision, you conclude that it's God asking you to make a 180-degree turn. You have all of these detours. You finally now find yourself in Philippi. It sets up an expectation that when I get to Philippi, there's going to be a man from Macedonia that I'm going to get to preach to. And like he's going to wait for me right at the dock. And I'm going to preach, bam, 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 lay hands on him, man. Revival. Like we're going to have plant churches. And it's just going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. But when he gets there is no man from Macedonia. In fact, some days roll on, there is no man from Macedonia. They go out of the city, they go by the riverside, and when they get there, it's all women. And so they thought, well, I don't know where the man from Macedonia is, but the first person that he engages is not a man from Macedonia, but a businesswoman by the name of Lydia. My question to you today is, how do we respond when our reality is different to our expectations? How do we respond? What do we do when the reality that we see immediately is so different to the expectations that God even set up from us? Come, help us, says the man from Macedonia in a vision. That is the reason why we didn't go to Asia, our original plan, God. We're here in Macedonia and there is no man from Macedonia. Now, Paul's expectations would have been completely valid based on the vision God gave him. But I want to say this to you. God is so much bigger than our expectation of how things are going to play out. Throughout all of the Bible, the way that we see how the Bible works, even think about how Jesus came into the world. It was prophesied that a king would be born, and yet he wasn't born to a queen in a palace. He was born to a virgin in a manger. Yes. How many of you know God is so much bigger than our expectations? And I want to say from the very outset that maybe you're here and you are living a reality of unexpected, unexplained, unlikely situations right now. You have a God that wants to bring revival in unexpected places. Maybe you're here right now and your predominant reality is, God, this is not what I expected. This area in my life, it's not what I expected. This thing I'm going through right now, it's not what I expected. Marriage is not what I expected. I did the course and everything, but it's not what I expected. I've seen the rom-coms. It's not like that. Maybe the investment or the business thing that you thought, man, that was absolutely fantastic. All your spreadsheets worked out, and now you've put your money in. It's not what you expected. Some of you, maybe you're new to Nations Church, and it's not what you expected. You come here and you go, oh man, that Ken Lee guy, he doesn't preach like my old pastor. He doesn't even come and visit me like my old pastor used to visit me. And the dude's not like even in the same campus every week. It's not what I expected. Maybe you're here and your reality is that you are in an unexpected place. Can I encourage you today? That unexpected place is exactly where God wants to bring a move of God. It's exactly where breakthrough wants to come. See, God, it's amazing how God never told Paul about Lydia. Why? God, you could have made it so much easier for Paul that the person in the dream could have been a woman who's a purple cloth seller saying, come, would you reach us? Would you help us? But instead, there was a man from Macedonia. And you know what? I get a feeling that maybe if God had actually made a woman appear to Paul in the dream, he may not have gone. We don't know what first century stigma is like around men and women and etc. Yeah, I want to say this to you. If God were to actually tell you everything about how you should step it out, I promise you, you might not be down with it. Hello. If God were to actually tell you everything that you actually want to know, the right expectation, you know what? You actually might not be down with it. There is no way I would have given up accounting had God actually told me what it would be like to pastor a church. No way. 16 years ago, I would have given up accounting to be here. No way. Plan a church, he said. It'll be fun, he said. God allows Paul to have a vision of a man from Macedonia. But instead, he's now faced with a businesswoman by the riverside. I want to say this to you today. Don't dismiss how much God can move in your unexpected circumstances. Don't you dismiss. Just because it doesn't look like how you expected it, don't you say, nah, God's not going to do that. God can't move in that. God wants to bring revival in the most unexpected of circumstances. Sure, it's not a man from Macedonia, but Paul, he went with it. Imagine if Paul dismissed it. This woman and her household would have never come to faith. They would have never been baptized. And scholars tell us that her whole family became the founding members of the largest church in the New Testament that Paul planted, called the Church in Philippi, because Paul did not dismiss that God wanted to bring revival in unexpected circumstances. I need a resounding amen. I don't know where you find yourself in 2021. Maybe you are finding yourself in a bit of an unexpected situation. Maybe the things have not turned out the way that you thought. You're in a church you never thought you'd ever be in. I never thought I'd ever be in Nations Church. I never thought I'd ever be in that workplace. I never thought I'd ever take work in that industry. I don't know where you find yourself, but you need to know, never discount that God wants to bring breakthrough in the most unlikely of places, in the most unexpected of circumstances. We can never be too narrow to say, God, just because it hasn't measured up to the way that I expected you to, you can't be in it. God will show up in the most unexpected of places. So here is Paul, man from Macedonia. Come, help us. Okay, we're not going to go to Asia. We're going to go to Macedonia. Bang, they go that way. And, but they get there. No man from Macedonia. What do we got? Well, we got this woman selling purple cloth. She's a businesswoman. All right, we pray for her. Get saved. Cool. You'd think that, maybe the next person they encounter would be actually this man from Macedonia, because it was like a vision. It's like very clear, God. So that's our expectation. It says, now it happened in verse 16, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a... What? Where is the man from Macedonia? I've got like a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit. Thanks, God. Who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So here is this clairvoyant, demon-possessed slave girl. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. That'll drive you insane. And Paul, greatly annoyed, not just a little bit annoyed. How many of you have been greatly annoyed before? Not just like a little annoyed, but greatly annoyed. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. There is no other way you can exegete the scripture than to say that God works through annoying circumstances. just as much as he does work through all the good circumstances. Come on, I need a resounding amen from you. So here is Paul. I don't know whether he was annoyed at the girl or annoyed at the fact that he still can't find the man from Macedonia. Where is the man from Macedonia? It's a vision, God. Which part of the man from Macedonia wasn't clear? You're the one that gave it to me. Lydia. Not quite what I expected, but they all get saved. We all water baptize it. It's okay, you know? Next guy, give me the man from Macedonia, which I know, demonized, fortune-telling, clairvoyant girl who follows us around for days. Let me ask you today, what's frustrating and annoying in your life that you've dismissed the fact that God can bring revival to? What's frustrating? What's not quite what you thought it was? What's annoying to you right now? Not just a little, but a lot that you've said, God, you can't move in that. You can't break through in that. What person in your life right now feels like a thorn in the flesh where you say, God, you can't save that person because they are too far gone. They're just too out there. I want to say this to you. God wants to bring revival in the most unexpected of places, in the most unexpected of circumstances. Never write off God, even though it looks right now that unexpected circumstance is an annoying, demonized slave girl. Thank God, even though Paul was really triggered and he was really annoyed, he understood that right now was an opportunity for God to bring freedom to this woman. I don't know about you, this next woman, even though she wasn't the man from Macedonia, she became the next member of the church in Philippi. Never discount that God wants to bring revival in unexpected places. What you call annoying, God sees as an opportunity for breakthrough. What you call frustrating, God sees as an opportunity for revival. What you write off as, it's just a little bit of a pain, that is an inconvenience, God sees as an opportunity for a testimony, for a miracle to be outworked. And I'd love to say that after this event of this demonized fortune-telling girl getting saved, annoying as she might be, that now they meet the man from Macedonia. Verse 19, it says, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Hold up a second, this was not part of the vision. Beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, this wasn't like a little, just little whack on the backside. These men, Paul and Silas, were beaten raw. And they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer or the warden to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, knowing that that was his assignment, he thought, I'm going to be safe. I'm going to put them in the inner prison and fasten their feet in the stocks or in chains. So here is this man from Macedonia. Come help us. Reach us. Don't go to Asia. All right. We're going to go when they get there. Lydia, lots of women by the riverside. Not what we expected, but you know, God, you can move. Pray for her. Household gets saved. Fantastic. They hang out there for a little bit. They get back on the streets, do street team, street evangelism. All right, where's the man from Macedonia? No man from Macedonia. An annoying, demonized slave girl comes in, follows us for a few days. We cast a demon out of her. All right, not quite the man from Macedonia, but you know what? Freedom comes to her. Fantastic. And now they find themselves in the inner dungeon. It's interesting that the jailer puts Paul and Silas in the inner dungeon. We're not just talking about like a temporary holding cell. The inner dungeon is what we would call death row. People go in there and they don't come out. And if I were Paul and Silas, I'd be sitting where I would call there is a gap between our reality and expectations, and often the gap between our reality that's immediate and the expectations that we have is the place of disappointment. And often it's in that place of disappointment where we feel the chains biting into our hands and into my feet that many believers walk away from faith. It is in this place where I am actually most vulnerable to letting my faith go, to doubting God, to actually having a corrupt or a skewed view of who God is, because disappointment is a state of disillusionment when what we had anticipated or expected to play out has not come about in the way that we thought we would. And often in the place of disappointment is the place where we feel we have the least faith that God can do anything good. So Paul and Silas, they're finding themselves in that place of the gap between reality, their immediate reality, and the place of expectation. The man from Macedonia appears in a dream. Help us, we get there, there is no man. And on it goes, and here they are in death row. And I want to say this to you today. Maybe you're here, and you're listening to this sermon right now, and you're in a place where it feels like you are chained to the wall. Through no fault of your own, maybe through circumstances, you feel like maybe things have happened in your life that has put you in that inner dungeon. Maybe there's something happening in your family right now where it feels like you left somewhere where no one is going to get you out. It feels right now, maybe financially or relationally or in your health, that you're in a place, God, I've walked with you obediently, but what is going on with my marriage? What is going on with our young adult children? Maybe you're here today and it feels like the gap between your immediate reality and your expectations are so far that it's too far gone for God. I want to say that you serve a God who wants to bring revival in unexpected places. It's there that He does His best work. It's there that He does His best work. The critical juncture for every person who calls Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior is straddling this gap between the immediate reality and their faith expectations. And I want to say this to you today. It's in that place where you've got to hold on to the conviction that we serve a God who does His best work in the most unlikely of places. In the places where you've called it written off, where you've called it hopeless, you've called it the inner dungeon. No one goes in there and ever comes out of there alive. There can be no reviving, only death in that marriage. There can be no restoration, only long-term pain in that relationship. There can be no coming back to Christ for my son, only forever lost. It's in that place where you feel like I'm holding on and I'm being chained to a wall that you need to remember that God does His best work in unexpected places. Thank God, Paul and Silas, naked, bleeding, feeling the cold stone of that prison cell, did not discount the fact that God could move in unexpected places. Because it says this in verse 25 of Acts 16, but at midnight, Paul and Silas started to whinge and complain to their leader. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Come on, I need to read that again because it's going to do your soul good. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. This is a profound statement because nobody wants to pray and sing at midnight being chained to a wall. I have enough trouble getting all of you guys out on revival prayer nights on nice, comfortable Monday nights in climate-controlled buildings. Don't you tell me that you pray at midnight chained to a wall. I have enough trouble getting you guys to lift up your hands and sing in a beautiful church with a rocking band. Don't you tell me you're going to be singing being chained to a wall at midnight. Come on. But I want to be part of a church that is willing to pray and sing at midnight as they are, as willing to pray and sing in the good times, in the sunshine, when they win the lottery, when they get the blessing. God moves in unexpected places. Our belief and our orientation toward God ought to never change. And thank God, Paul and Silas showed us. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains, were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we're all still here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And we rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. What an incredible account. What a stunning account. At midnight, Paul and Silas decided God is going to move in the most unlikely of places. You know what I love about this story? It's actually Silas. He's like the wingman everybody needs. Because like Silas is this character that we don't see him say anything, we don't see him do anything, but he ends up in the same jail as his buddy Paul. It was Paul that got greatly annoyed, that got them all in trouble, but Silas just hung out, man. He is the friend you need. Beaten up just as badly, chained up just as tightly. It's not his fault. He just hung out with Paul. Paul said, let's sing, bro. All right, let's do it. How great is our God? Just sings harmony. Let's go for it. We all need a friend like Silas. Here's what I love about Paul and Silas. They're in the most unexpected place, in the most unlikely of circumstances. They find themselves chained to a wall, in prison, beaten up. But they never forgot why they were in Philippi. They never forgot why they were in Philippi. They never forgot their purpose. They never forgot what God spoke to them at midnight. Come on, are you out there? You know, I want to encourage you today. Don't you dare forget at midnight what God spoke to you at midday. Don't you dare forget tonight when things get tough what God spoke to you about yesterday. Don't you dare discount what God's going to do tomorrow night. Just come on, are you out there? Just because things look tough, what he spoke to you yesterday, it is still the same God that is speaking to you today. Revival had come in the most unexpected of places, and there's no reason why revival couldn't come here in the inner dungeon too. Come on. Some of us, we sit in the gap of disappointment for so long, looking at our chains, feeling trapped between our immediate reality and our expectations, that we completely forget that we serve a God that brings revival in unexpected places. What is your unexpected place right now? What is the place that is unlikely for you right now that you've maybe written God off and discounted that, God, you can't move in my marriage anymore? We're just two people that have been hurting for so long. God, you can't restore me. If you knew the level of abuse that I've been through, God, you cannot restore my life. I don't know what it is today that you feel that you're in right now, whatever space that you're in. You are a prime candidate for God to do his best work. You are a prime candidate for God to do his best work. Paul and Silas never forgot why they were in Philippi. They were in Philippi to bring revival. They were in Philippi to bring a move of God. They were in Philippi, and even in the inner dungeon, they never forgot their purpose. Too many of us are not walking in our purpose because we're too busy sitting in our disappointments. Too busy sitting in our disappointments, looking at our chains. God, you can't do anything good with this. God, I'm in the inner dungeon. Don't you forget what God promised you. Don't you forget that he is a God that does his best work in the most unlikely of places. Can I go a little deeper with you? Yeah. See, what Paul and Silas did was they understood they were in a disappointing place. They didn't expect when they saw the vision from the man from Macedonia that they end up here in the inner dungeon. But what I loved about what Paul and Silas did was they didn't allow disappointment to become bitterness. They allowed disappointment to become worship. They allowed disappointment to become prayer. They allowed disappointment to become the honoring of God. See, disappointment undealt with will inevitably become bitterness. Disappointment is usually with a circumstance, but bitterness is inevitably always with God. Disappointment sounds a little bit like this. God, that investment, it's not quite what we expected. God, that house that we got an opportunity to rent, it's not what we expected. God, that husband that I married, he's not what I expected. God, having kids, raising them, it's not what I expected. That's disappointment. Bitterness is, God, you told me to marry him. God, you said that we would have that child. And now he's 19, he's living on the streets. We haven't heard from him for a month. But Paul and Silas refused to let disappointment become bitterness. And it's in that place they made a decision that we have a God who moves in unexpected places. Do I get a resounding amen? You know, what I love about this account is that as soon as they started singing and as soon as they started praying, what was the inner dungeon? The walls began to shake. There was a rattling. The doors began to fling open. There was a clinking of chains, not just of their own, but of everyone else's. There is so much at stake when you hold to a revelation that I have a God that works and moves in unexpected places. Let me preach this out for a minute. So here is Paul and Silas. They have a vision. It's a man from Macedonia. Come, help us. They get to Macedonia. No man. Women by the riverside. All right. Well, we'll settle for that. It's kind of, you know, not quite, but it's all right too. They pray for Lydia. Her whole household gets saved. After that, they look for a man from Macedonia. He's nowhere to be found. And they see this annoying slave girl. All right, she gets saved. Now they're in prison. Still no man from Macedonia. Until they decided to pray and sing in the place where they're least likely to pray and sing. Could it be that the man from Macedonia was now in front of them, dressed in a warden's outfit, in a warden's uniform? Because here is this man who was charged with keeping them in the inner dungeon, making sure that they never got out alive. As soon as the prison walls started crumbling down, he panicked, thinking that his superiors would take him away and torture and kill him because he would have not done his job right in keeping the prisoners locked up. Makes sense to you? He takes a sword and was about to plunge it into his own heart when Paul says, "Stop, we're all still here." To which then he falls to his knees and says to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to get saved?" The man from Macedonia was not found by the dock in the sunshine. It was not found by the riverside along with all the women. It was not found on the streets, but it was found in the most unlikely of places, in the inner dungeon. Maybe your man from Macedonia is going to come in the most unlikely of places. Don't you dare discount it. Maybe your man of Macedonia is going to come from that unsaved kid that you've been trying to raise, that backslidden child. Your man from Macedonia is going to come from that marriage you think is in such disrepair. Come on, I'm preaching now. Maybe your man from Macedonia is going to come out of your testimony, out of abuse that you thought, "I will never share because I'll never get restored. I'll never get healed from." Your man from Macedonia is going to come out of the most unlikely of places, because we serve a God who brings revival in unexpected places. This is what I sense prophetically for the days ahead. I just feel like there is a move of God that is going to come. And yes, I think God is going to use big name global revivalists with big stadiums. I think he's going to do that. But I genuinely think that a move of God is coming in the most unexpected of places. It's going to come in living rooms with messy homes, with kids tearing the place up, with husbands that are out of work and dejected. God is going to bring revival in those places. God is going to bring revival. He's going to come to you in a workplace that you struggle to go to because the workplace environment is toxic, the management can't get their act together, and you're underpaid. God is going to bring revival in those places. He's going to bring revival through Zoom screens and webinars and things where people are in lockdown, and people are going to get healed through the internet in the most unlikely of places. God is, when you find yourself doing something that you never thought, "God, how can you move here? It looks like an inner dungeon. It looks like chains around my wrists and around my feet." That is perfect place for God to do his best work. That is a perfect place for God to do his best work. I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, and this perhaps may be the power of our Easter story, is that when I read the Bible, I see a God who brings breakthrough in stormy seas. I see a God who brings breakthrough around fortresses that people said will never fall. I see a God who brings breakthroughs in unexpected places like lions' dens. And God brings breakthroughs in unexpected places like prison cells and pits and wildernesses and deserts and droughts, in battlefields where the enemies far outnumber God's people. I see God move where giants square up before shepherd boys. Don't you tell me that we serve a God who just comes in according to our expectations. God moves in the most unexpected of places. There is revival to be had in the most unlikely spaces of your life if you would just open up your heart to let him. Is that helpful to you guys? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Would you stand to your feet? Musicians, you can join me.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.